Prepare for victory, daily success in spiritual warfare. That's the series that we're on. And today, the title of the message is Equipped to Serve. Equipped to Serve. You know, one of the things that just comes to my mind as Carol was sharing there about prayer is, guys, we need to be in prayer. We need it for us. We need it for our church. We need it for our community. There is a spiritual battle that is taking place. And it is a serious battle. And the only, I tell you, this last couple weeks, out of necessity, I've been on my knees more than usual. And, man. I don't know where I would be without prayer. I know right now, if I didn't have prayer, my heart would be hurting right now. I would have a lot of confusion, frustration, anger. Man, the world we live in is not an easy one. It is not. And we need to really take prayer seriously. So, Carol, thank you for encouraging us in that. Equipped to serve. Equipped to serve. I wanted to start off with 1 Peter 4:12. And it says, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial which you must undergo, as though something strange were happening to you." And that's been kind of my verse this week. Hey, you know what? Don't be surprised that the battle's on. And here's the thing. So often, I'm shocked that we're under attack. I'm surprised that things go differently than what I had planned. I'm surprised when there's conflict. I'm surprised with my own response to the conflict. I'm often disappointed with myself and surprised and unprepared because out of left field, all of a sudden, something's there. And I'm reacting out of my gut rather than out of a heart that's submitted to Jesus Christ. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial which you must undergo, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't be surprised by the devil's attacks. Don't be surprised. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's who he is. That's his character. That's his character. There's nothing that shows that we have given into the schemes of the devil more than complaining about being under attack. Guys, having a critical spirit, having a complaining heart at the sign of every time something goes wrong, and guess what? Life is broken. There is sin in our world, and at every turn, something's going wrong. As we serve a suffering Savior, Jesus Christ, God Himself, suffered, was rejected, was spit on. And so I don't think we should be surprised if we serve a suffering Savior who knows what it's like to suffer, that we should be surprised that we go through the same. And guys, that's good news that we have a suffering Savior, because when we turn to Him in prayer, He says, "I know how you feel. I know what's going on." And yet Jesus Christ suffered yet without sinning. Think about that. He suffered, but He didn't sin. And I got to tell you, sometimes my worst problems have been when something's happening and I return the favor. And now something's been done to me, but guess what? I'm in it full bolt. Here I go. Man, why? Because I'm reacting. And as soon as I'm reacting, I'm in sin. We do it in marriage. We do it in friendships. We do it at work. All over in our lives, there's something that's done or said, and we react. And now we're going on our own strength. We're doing things our own way. Guys, it's hard not to complain when we're being treated unfairly, isn't it? I mean, honestly, am I the only one that struggles with that? It's hard to do what's right and to have a godly attitude when things aren't going in a way that we feel is fair. And that's life. It's a struggle. It's spiritual warfare, and it's a satanic attack. So my question is this. Why does God allow the attack? If we have a loving God who's involved in our lives, why in the world does he allow these attacks to take place? Have you ever just said, God, why? Oh my goodness. There's times where you just, really? And have you ever had those times where you're on a roll of attack? So it's you know the saying, when it rains, it pours? It's true spiritually too, isn't it? Just when you think that everything has one more thing. And then sometimes it's that last person that you're dealing with, that maybe it's a small thing, and they get all the junk in return. And you're just like, whoa, what was that? Well, that was all their junk. That was all the pain, all the stuff, accumulation of all the buildup. So my thought is, how can I not give all the junk back away? How can I be in a place to where I'm whole regardless of my circumstance? Because I promise you one thing. If you look to man for the answer, you will be disappointed. If you look to the people in this church for the answer, you will be disappointed. I'm sorry, it's true. If we look to the leadership, if you look to the elders and myself, you'll be disappointed. We can only look to Christ. Pray hard for the leadership. Pray hard for those who are in authority in the different areas of your life. Because if you're in an area of authority, you are under attack. If you are trying to change some things in your life, the attack will increase. Don't think, and if you've ever heard, hey, if you just come to Jesus, it's all good. Everything will be great. No, if you come to Jesus, battle's on. Battle's on, so you better gear up for the battle. Because you don't want to go into battle in your flip-flops and a t-shirt and some shorts. You want to go into battle prepared for God's business, for what he's doing and how he works. And it is a tough, tough battle. God's plan could never happen if he didn't permit the devil to operate in a limited way. Here's what's so surprising that I keep coming back to. God actually uses what the devil means to use to destroy. God uses and redeems it and uses it to bless. Think about that. The things, why does God do what he does? Why does he allow the devil to work? Why doesn't he just remove Satan? Because he's got a different plan than you and I. And if we're going to serve him, we need to be prepared to serve him. We need to be mature. We need to grow. And so God allows the enemy, his enemy, to work up to a point. Why? It puts us in a place where we are dependent on. You want to pray for blessing? That's a dangerous prayer. Because blessing means, the greatest blessing means being dependent on God and not me. Not myself. But being dependent on God. You pray for blessing, you're going to be praying, God, give me opportunities to trust you. It's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? It's a wonderful prayer. Because here's the thing, guys. When we're growing as God wants us to grow, it's a challenge. But in the midst of all the junk that's around, we can find refuge. We can be okay. And not only that, we can not just manage our pain. We can be whole. I mean, think about that. Think about the area that gets you down the easiest, the fastest. You don't have to live in that bondage. And when the enemy attacks with the things that are trying to bring you into a place to where you say, and you start trusting yourself, Stop. Humble yourself before God. Put on the armor. And get ready for the battle so that you're ready to do it His way and in His time. It's tough, guys. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial which you must undergo as though some strange thing were happening to you. We need to expect it. We're under attack. John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a promise that we're going to struggle. But that's another promise that in the midst of the struggle, we have the one who has overcome. He's our God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you know Him, if you've received Him as your Lord and Savior, you're not fighting this battle that is a losing battle. You are fighting a war that's already been won. And so now every battle you come to, the victory is already there. When attacked, why are we so surprised? We shouldn't be, and we should know that the battle's coming, but we have a God who's overcome the world. When we're being attacked, we think things like, why me? Why me? Or, I'm alone in this. These are all lies from the enemy. These are his schemes. Nobody understands what I'm going through. No one's... And we start believing these lies from the enemy. And he's a good liar. No one knows what I'm going through. If they didn't know, I can't share this with anyone, because if anybody knew the real me, they wouldn't receive me. They'd toss me out of that church. Well, then I'd have to leave too. Right? This is a good place for sinners. It's a good place for sinners who've become saints who still sin. It's a good place for the broken. It's a good place for the broken who've been healed, who are struggling with understanding the truth that they're healed. You see, we belong here. And we belong with each other, guys. And we're in this together. And we need to value that. We need to understand that we've got each other's back in Christ. And to trust God. And when we blow it, we need to repent and we need to go to the people that we've hurt and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." There's nothing that you're going through that others haven't experienced. And I know it doesn't feel like that. Guys, I know it doesn't feel like others understand. Or that even God understands. But you're not alone. That's a lie of the enemy. Not only are you not alone, there's nothing that the enemy has put before you that God hasn't said, I've prepared a way out. And guys, that is good news. It's also humbling. Because I know there's been a lot of times where I haven't found the way out. Where I've given into the temptation to say something back. Or to say something to begin with. Or where I've done something or where I've said the right thing and my heart is just so wrong. God loves you. I don't. God loves you. Why are you still? Forgive us, God. Forgive us. We need to stop complaining about being attacked. Guys, This is what God has been speaking to me. He's been yelling it at me because I haven't been hearing the whisper. He's been yelling it at me. We need to stop complaining that we're attacked. That's the first sign that my heart's not right in the spiritual battle. If I'm the victim, no, I'm a child of God. I'm not a victim. I am not a victim. I'm a child of God. So of course I'm being attacked. We have an enemy who is not going to give up any ground without a fight. And so when I see it happening, praise God that it's happening. Because something's happening in my life where the enemy has to say, you know what, here we go. It's on. He thinks he can get this ground with his God. I'm not going to give it up without a fight. Well, here we go. Let's battle, but not in our own strength. Guys, if we ever, and I hear this, if you hear nothing else, if you ever battle in your own strength against the enemy, you will lose. If you try and do it in your strength and in your way or in your time, you will lose. There's times where we battle for the right thing, but in our way, right? And we're going to lose there. And God is, I can't tell you, it hurts. The battle is hard, and it hurts. And wounds in battle are real. But we have a great physician. Who is the great healer? Do you need to be healed? I'm not talking physical. Maybe it is physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's just in your broken spirit. Maybe you've believed the lies for so long about who you are. And you believe the lies that what you've done or what has been done to you is your identity. And those are lies from the pit of hell. Do not believe those lies. God is greater than what you've done. God is greater than what's been done to you. You are not a victim. We can be victorious in Christ. Few things, guys, are more damaging than a critical spirit. And sometimes the people that we're most critical with is ourselves. We'll beat ourselves up. And we'll beat the enemy can just say, I'm on autopilot right now. They're taking themselves out right now. All I have to do is get things started and they'll just start beating themselves up silly. I'll just get the ball rolling here with a few lies. Because God's will is good. Know that God's will is good. And he redeems the junk. So the junk that we've done and the junk that's been done to us, God redeems it. And he doesn't just forgive. He redeems it in such a way that now what we have and what we do, it's all used in such a way. The spiritual battle's on, isn't it? It's used in such a way. Start with truth. Be reminded of righteousness. And peace is there. Peace is there. When we are upset or hurt and under attack, our tendency is to try and put our hearts at peace. And we can't start there, guys. We've got to start with the truth. It's a big mistake. We can't conjure up feelings of peace. If you're trying to manipulate yourself, everything's going wrong. Okay, I'm going to think peaceful thoughts. Good luck to you. But what if we go to, I'm a child of God. His word is true. I'm holding on to the truth that my identity is not in what I've done or what's been done to me. My identity is in the truth of who I am in Christ. And his righteousness is my righteousness. Now my heart is ready to take that breath. And it's not a forced breath. It's not trying to manipulate myself. But I'm experiencing the peace because I'm resting in the truth. Go to God's word and Jesus. That's the truth. Then righteousness, focus on God's righteousness, which you have by faith. And then you will realize God's peace is yours. Guys, we don't focus on ourselves there. We don't focus on ourselves there or our feelings there or how we feel because of what's happening. We focus on the truth of God, our righteousness in him, and then we enjoy the peace that comes with it. But here's the thing, guys. Sometimes we're doing the right things and we start to go in the right, and then the attack continues and we're still struggling. Has anybody done the right things, put God first, and you still have those emotions and those feelings that keep coming back? There are times when these three pieces aren't enough because we have to put on the full armor of God. And we experience what Paul calls the flaming darts of the evil. And let's look at it. Ephesians 6:16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all. That's a big word, isn't it? All the flaming darts of the evil one. You see, remember from last week, the first three are things, what tense are they in? Past tense. The first three pieces we have as people, as believers in Christ. The first three, as we come to faith, those are pieces that the enemy tries to take away the truth that we have those. But they're past tense. It's what's already happened. These last three, guess what? We're called, it says, in all circumstances, take up. Present tense. Take it up. Take it up again. Take it up again. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Flaming darts of doubt, temptation, self-righteousness. These darts are the devil's whispers. But you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Notice what it doesn't say, guys. This is so important. It doesn't say, in all circumstances, take up the shield of belief. Faith is acting on belief. Faith is acting on belief. Faith is a decision. It's an action. Faith is saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the truth. I believe that he's my righteousness and that he's my peace. And because of that, I choose to make a decision on my belief and I choose to act on it. And that is faith. That's the shield of faith. The challenge is there. I've gone back to the truth of who I am. And now I take action. And faith is that action. I'm choosing to do this because it honors God. That's faith. That's a shield of faith. And we're to take it up. And when the next battle comes, we're to take it up again. We choose to take action. Think about what would happen if we didn't just have a shield of belief, but if we had the shield of faith. Have you ever known what's right and chosen not to do it? Yeah. Have you ever heard from God, do this, and you say, no, that's a shield of belief. I know what's right, But I'm not going to have faith that if I do what's right, God's enough. Because I promise you one thing, if you do what's right, you will get burned. I promise you. If you do what's right, it's not that all of a sudden we go to Candyland. And there's flowers and sunshine and beauty. No, if you do what's right, the battle's on. And so it takes a commitment to action. It's so easy to come down on a brother or sister when they've sinned against you. But the shield of faith says, not only do I forgive them, but I choose to be in right relationship. As far as it is with me, I choose to be a friend. At work, when those who are under authority that is not doing what's right, taking action, standing up for truth. If you do that, guess what? You might lose your job. You might. If you do what's right, the things of this world could be tougher. But the biggest important thing is not the job, it's your heart before God. And when we stand in righteousness, it plants seeds in the lives of the people around us. It shows the life of Christ. We are ambassadors for Him. And when we love, when the world says hate, it's shocking. It doesn't sound or seem right. When we love in tough love, when a friend will just say, hey, that's all right. Sometimes God's saying, no, call it for what it is. Friend, what you're doing is wrong. It's going to hurt you. I don't want that for you. I want you to, and if they're a Christian, I want you to know that you're living in a way that honors God and have the joy of that. And if they're not a believer, I want you to know you don't have to be a slave to your sin. I love you too much to say nothing. Because the darts of the enemy will say, I won't say anything. And then it happens again. I won't say anything. It happens again. I won't say anything. Except I'll say something to you about his screw-ups. Let me tell you. I've had it! Oh, the enemy's rejoicing, isn't he? Oh, man. And it even feels kind of righteous. Excuse me. I didn't mean self. That's us. That's our excuse, right? Not self, righteous. It's righteous. My anger is a righteous anger. I got to share one story. I was at Lakeside Bible Camp where I became a Christian, and one of the leaders who was there was arguing, all these teenage kids, we were there to serve the other camps. And as we're getting ready to go out on a work day, our two leaders are fighting with each other in front of us. And it gets to pushes, and they're yelling, and the Christian swear words, you know. Yeah, you know the Christian. It's swearing, but with a Christian flair, you know. And one of the guys, after he pushes him and knocks him to the ground, he looks at him and he points at him and says, my anger is a righteous anger. His anger was not righteous. There was nothing righteous about it. But he had to be right. Didn't matter what. Stop, think. What is the example I'm giving to these kids? Well, we got an example of what not to do, which we often have to take that lesson, don't we? Yeah. It can feel so righteous in the heat of the moment, can it? when it's completely not. Guys, I'm gonna pull back here because these are too good to just flip through. So we got one more piece of the armor today. It's an important piece. It's an important piece. Because the enemy is coming at us with everything he has. But all, think about that, all of the fiery darts can be extinguished. There's not one thing where Jesus has said, I don't have an answer for that. I got nothing. Jesus doesn't ever say, I got nothing. Or oops. Or just say, let me check with plan B. There's no plan B with God. There's plan A. And so we need to be ready for the battle. We need to be quick to love our brother and sister in the midst of difficult situations. And guys, we struggle with this every day, don't we? Every day we struggle with this. Every day it's a decision. Do I go on the shield of belief or do I take up the shield of faith and act on my belief and choose to do what's right and make the decision to go into action of, you know what? I'm not just going to believe it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Right now. Right now. Because if we wait, guess what happens? We start making excuses. We start giving reasons for why our anger is a righteous anger. We start saying, it's because, and because becomes our best friend. I was too. God has just been speaking this into my life. You know what, guys? Sometimes being a pastor is a little bit hard. It is. But what if we act on what we believe? What if we take up the shield of faith and do what is right even though we don't want to do what's right? But we say, I'm going to trust God in this. I'm going to do what's right. I choose your truth, Jesus. And guess what the enemy does? He does the, oh, no, except his swearing isn't Christian swearing. His response is not a Christian. So he'll either double down or head for the hills. But if we keep acting out on faith, guess what he has to come to the conclusion of? I've got to come up with something else. This isn't working anymore. And all of a sudden, the stronghold in our life becomes freedom. Think about that. The things that the enemy has messed with you for years can become something of the past. And you can be free from that bondage. You can be free from feeling discouraged. As when we live this out, guess what happens? We start having each other's back in ways that bring blessing to everyone. Just end with this last quick little story. My wife's not here today. Some of our kids aren't here. Julie's mother is just had surgery and had her hip replaced, and they're with her right now. All the kids, Isaac's with me, so I'm not by myself here. But there was a time where Julie and I dated at 15 years old. We dated four separate times. And in between one of those times, I was dating a young lady at college that was not the right one. And I had a friend who risked our friendship and said, she's not the right one. You're different when you're with her. She's not the right one.
and he risked our friendship. He actually pushed me up against the wall. Comes up to about here on me. And he had the love for me that he pushed me up against the wall. He said, "What are you doing? She doesn't treat you well. What are you doing?" And my friends and this girl was right around the corner. And he's yelling at the top, "What are you doing?" And I was woken from my stupor. It changed my life. Helped me make the right decision. Praise God. Praise God, friends are willing to say the hard thing. Praise God, people are willing to act on their belief in faith and live it out. Praise God. Where is God saying, "I want you to act out on your belief and make it the shield of faith and not just belief"? Take up that shield, guys. Take up that shield. And we'll continue on with the rest of the pieces of the armor. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that your word is not an old document that has nothing to do with us here and now. That it is the living word of God. That it transforms life. Father, we need it desperately. We are a mess without you. Forgive us for thinking that we've got the answers. Forgive us for thinking that our way is the best way. Forgive us for trying to do things in our timing. Forgive us for trying to push you or pull you to join us rather than seeing what you're doing and join you. Forgive us for how we've treated our brother and made them an enemy or our sister rather than the beloved child of God. Forgive us for trying to manipulate. Forgive us for trying to flex. Forgive us for trying to push our will in all different areas of our lives. Father, we choose to take up the shield of faith. Forgive us for just going to belief and not acting out on what we believe. We choose today to make a commitment to say, "I choose the shield of faith. I'm going to take it up now. I'm going to act on what I know. I'm going to do what's right because it honors you, God." And that's enough. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace and mercy in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us. Thank you, Lord, that we get to enjoy you and each other. Lord, I pray for a spiritual covering over this family. And Lord, we pray for all the other churches in this community that are teaching the Word of God. We pray for a covering over them. Lord, bless them. May we see this community be transformed because you're using your bride, the church, to transform this whole community. We desire to see things different a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, drastically different in the community because of what you're doing through your people. Use us, Lord. May we get out of the way of what you're doing. And rather than be things that clog the wheel, may we be your ambassadors of truth and love for your glory and not ours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.